Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
I think the team who has the most consistent offensive line able to control the line of scrimmage this weekend will win the game. And I don't think it will come down to the quarterback play necessarily. I don't know if it's going to be a skill position thing. I think whatever offensive line is able to create the holes and protect the passer and establish a running game, I think that's going to be the determining factor on Sunday night. This isn't Brady Manning. This isn't Mahomes Watson.
No.
Okay.
No.
These are two struggling quarterbacks trying to find their way.
That's right.
That are lucky that they have defensive players on the roster that can carry the day on some Sundays.
And I hate to say this because it's such a negative way of looking at the game, but is it the quarterback that doesn't make the mistake that wins the game? Are you really looking for the guy that isn't as affected by the defense as the other guy?
You've got the number one overall pick and the number two overall pick in consecutive drafts. It's going to come down to who manages the game better.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Scott Boras turned up at the owners' meetings.
Oh.
He's been doing this for 30 years.
How old is he?
I'm just saying.
He's ageless.
Boras,
he looks pretty good.
But yeah. He's got to be getting up there.
Well, he's 67 years old.
He's 67.
He looks
years
great
old?
For
wow,
67.
He looks great.
He was definitely, though, holding the circus.
Well, he's
the
ringmaster.
Oh, my
gosh.
The
really
Carnival Barker
is,
was
no question.
In action.
It was like, you know, dun, 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 dun. Hey, oh, the White Sox. Hey, well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, they might be interesting to some players this year.
Old St. Nick delivers once a year. Young St. Nick delivers all season. So you've got a pretty good market for that kind of player.
I guess. Okay.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A very happy Friday to everybody.
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. David. How
morning,
are you?
Morning, Mully. Happy Friday.
Oh, this is it,
we made
buddy.
It.
This
we made
is
it.
Good
it's,
day.
It's a big day. It's a Bears Friday that is brought to you by Dunkin' Chicago. Runs on Dunkin'.
Drinking one right now.
Yeah. Last Friday, we were at Dunkin' on Madison, and now I'm kind of craving one of these Beyond Sausage
sandwich.
Sandwich.
Look at you.
Sound good.
Ray just ran out of the room. I think he's going to get you one. Ray usually would anticipate
going to
your
get
craving.
Another one. He had one yesterday.
Ah.
I told the boys how good it was. The one I took a sample on the way out. Wish I had had a whole one. And then they jumped in yesterday.
If he does not get the sandwich, I think he will start to swing objects at me because he likes it that much.
Oh boy, how about that? I don't know if everybody stayed up late enough to watch the horrors of the NFL, but my goodness gracious, there were three players ejected. Nasty brawl that ruins the end of the Steelers-Browns game. The Browns won the game 21-7, but that was hardly the story. With 21 seconds left in the game, it's a pass to the sideline, and Mason Rudolph gets hit and gets taken down, and he didn't like it. There's like a shoving match. The next thing you know, Myles Garrett rips off Rudolph's helmet, and he brought him up off his knees, tearing off the helmet. And then and Rudolph, along with the rest of his linemen, all went after Myles Garrett as he's standing there with his helmet, and he clocks him on the head with the helmet.
Rudolph was, I think, just reacting.
I know.
And he was stunned, and it was an ugly end to a game that the Browns had played pretty well. It cast a pall on the entire evening. It's going to be the dominant thing that people talk about this weekend in the NFL, even with the Colin Kaepernick workout on Saturday. This is terrible. It's terrible for the league.
It was
because,
assault. It was like watching assault in the end of a football game.
It was. It was one of the uglier things you're going to see in sports. It's something that the league can't tolerate. And you know, you've got to look at it as doesn't matter about the history. It doesn't matter what might have provoked it.
No.
The resulting action
was
unacceptable, inexcusable.
I mean, you know, illegal. You got to get rid of the guy. You got to kick the guy out of, you know, you got to kick him. You got to suspend him the rest of the year. You got to kick him out of the league.
I mean,
it was unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll get into it because there are a lot of different points of view. And I was surprised that Mike Pereira on Fox didn't come down a little stronger. And I think that a lot of people were reacting in real time. But, you know, when he talked about, well, this is at least a 4-game suspension, you think?
Oh, my God. I mean,
here's Mike Pereira, what he said last night, right after this happened.
This is a terrible situation. And I think that we certainly will be looking at suspensions. You know, I think the swinging of the helmet is like crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's actually in the rule book where it says that you cannot take a player's helmet off and use it as a weapon. But to me, Garrett is going to have a pretty lengthy suspension, and not just because of what he did tonight. I mean, you got to go back and look at this season. He's already been fined twice for hits on the quarterback, and now you take this incident. And so I'm not going to be surprised if we don't see something that could approach 4 games.
4 games?
It's got to be more than that,
yeah.
Mike.
Come on,
Mike. I mean, I have a ton of respect for him, but I think that he's
Berflecht is out forever, right? Or in
don't you get 4 games for like smoking marijuana?
After that whole preamble, oh, I'm so shocked. This is crazy.
Yeah.
4 games.
Yeah, exactly.
He was building up, miss at least a quarter.
Because what you said was right, Molly. You put it in the proper context. That wasn't unsportsmanlike conduct. That wasn't just a penalty. That was assault. And the league is going to have to deal with it because of the seriousness. You know, that could have – we're lucky that Mason Rudolph got up.
I got to tell you, he was okay. It looked like I saw one cut of it where it looked like the helmet may have grazed, I think it was David DeCastro. It was somebody that was trying to intercede. It may have grazed someone, which took some of the violence from the swing.
Yeah.
But he hit him on the head with a helmet.
And he's a guy with concussion history.
Oh, my God. It was.
Well, did he miss some time because of a concussion this year, Rudolph?
Well, I mean, the very fact that he got into the postgame was able to call the guy a coward. And
the kicking, too, that resulted after that
David
is going
Castro
to be.
David Castro then gets him to the ground, gets Myles Garrett to the ground, and Pouncey comes around and is kicking him in the head. What are you doing? That, I mean, listen, I know he lost it, and I know it was outrageous what Myles Garrett did, but I'm pretty sure it might be in the rule book, Mike Pereira, that you can't kick a guy in the head.
That's going to be legislated as well. It was an ugly ending to, you know, a game that has no place in the NFL.
There was an ejection earlier in the game where the safety came up and it was a helmet-to-helmet. He needs to take an afternoon off.
See, now that's where you start talking about 4 games. I was disappointed that Pereira didn't like set the bar a little bit higher just for the beginning point of the conversation. You know, you come in this morning and you start to listen to some of the opinions around the league, and there's some people, everything ranging from Mike Pereira's 4 games to people are talking about a lifetime ban. You know, do you let him play football again? I think that you suspend him for the rest of the season. You revisit it. You kind of look at what your options are, but there's no place for him to put a uniform on the rest of the year.
Absolutely horrible. Just a shocking end to a game that worked well for the Browns, but they were really physical all night long.
Physical games, yeah.
Really,
and
physical.
I'll say this for quarterback for Baker Mayfield, and we've been critical. I've been critical of him because I think he can be a little bit immature. He handled himself pretty well in the post-game interview with Aaron Andrews, talking about immediately, because this is right after it happened. You know, there wasn't much time left. Called it inexcusable, and, you know, that's his teammate, so
right.
I think he handled himself pretty well.
That's good. The Bears are dealing with their issues. David Montgomery, I love this. He rolled an ankle, so he couldn't practice yesterday. The Bears are calling it a light rolling.
Say gently. Did you say gently or lightly?
Is this the Bears? I mean, seriously, is this the Bears just lack of you know that we're gonna pounce on that?
I don't know what it's a lack of.
It's a rolled ankle. Why do you have to say it's a lightly rolled ankle?
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't play on Sunday, or if he's ineffective Sunday, or if he doesn't drop his drawers and take the shot of Toradol, we're gonna pile on him. Because if it's slightly, then you should be able to toughen up Buttercup, tuck the shirt in, put the jock strap on, pull the socks up high, and play the game. Slightly rolled ankle.
Yeah, I think that didn't do him any favors because you're going to expect him to play now if it's not a serious injury. Well, and if he doesn't, it's going to be really disappointing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You put him in a tough spot.
Lightly rolled ankle.
And not, who's running the ball if he's not available?
Not to mention the tough spot the running game is in.
Well, there you go. You already that, got issues running the ball. And by the way, Mike Davis, let's get this
isn't here.
Pick. I'm just saying. I mean, if ever there was like a perfect storm.
You guys know what this is. It's going to be the Ryan Nall game. It's whatever
oh
this
can my.
Be Ryan Nall game.
This Wouldn't that it. Be something?
Yeah.
Hello, it. America. This is
Sunday
Ryan Nall.
Sunday Night Football.
Tariq Cohen might be a bigger part of the offense. You think that could happen?
Let's hope he doesn't run between the tackles.
Well, he says he's more comfortable doing that.
Is he? Well,
north and south. We'll find
not
out.
Not at the goal line, okay?
They need David Montgomery, please. I think, to beat the Rams. And
I do, too.
If it's just a gently rolled ankle as opposed to a severely rolled ankle, I think we're going to be okay.
And I don't know how tender it is, but Trey Burton has a calf, and he didn't practice as well, which would seemingly open up an opportunity for the once-benched Adam Shaheen. Oh, wait, he has a foot, and he can't practice either.
Boy, that position all year has just been disappointing. They've got nothing
position.
Nothing total. Out of the tight end spot.
It's just
and they're paying for production.
Oh
they're just
God.
Not getting it.
No, they've gotten nothing from Trey Burton all year, so him not playing probably isn't as big a deal. That's just being mean. You need that guy. Adam Shaheen, nothing there. So he's hurt too. It's just, I don't know. You're right. It's the boogeyman position. It is the spot in that offense where you thought you were going to get so much. It's the spot in the offense where Matt Nagy wants to call so many plays and use his tight end like he did in Kansas City.
When the best use of your tight end is as a fullback, you've got problems.
And you know what? That's probably the best use they've had because
yeah.
Ben Broniker had a catch. We saw that last week. He had a catch.
But TJ Holtz has been the guy who has been on
actually,
the field a lot.
Shocking.
Mostly in the role of a fullback.
Yeah, and he'll have to play more now if you don't have a running
back. He's going to carry the ball?
No, I hope not. Okay, Coby White led the Bulls with 26 points, including 6 threes, but it wasn't enough. The Bulls ended up with a 124-115 loss to the Bucks. Bulls were in that game the whole game. They led that game early. They led by as many as 11.
Yeah.
I think at one point, 11.
Too many turnovers, can't hit the open three, and Lauri Markkanen disappeared in the second half.
And you know what? I agree with everything you're saying, but I also think, and stay with me on this, that Zach LaVine, who did fall out of the game mm-hmm. and had a good game.
20 shots.
That guy is taking bad shots. It's not 20 shots, it's bad shots. It's jacking the ball up early in the shot clock when you're trying to get back into the game. Pass the ball once, right? Coby White's hit a couple of threes. Now you're going to jack something up. Like, let him take another one. Let's work to get somebody open.
It makes you wonder how well those two guys do work together. It
makes you wonder if he doesn't like the guy getting as much credit as he's getting. For
you wonder. So
I just thought he took some bad shots in that game. And again, when it's time to take over the game, he's going to do it because that's what he.
It's disappointing because you're ahead of a team that you probably shouldn't beat.
Yeah,
and you have an opportunity to win a game on the road, and you blow it. And 22 turnovers. That's the thing that.
Well,
keeps...
that's it. You're absolutely right. When you look at the game at the end of it, the turnovers are the problem. Boylan and the team not happy with the way they dunked at the end of the game with the game in hand. Really.
You got more things to worry about that that are more
exactly.
important than that.
They host the Nets Saturday. The Bulls are not, I mean, they're worth watching. They're not, it's not a bad show now. It's worth tuning in to the score. Jose Abreu signed a 1-year deal. We'll get into that.
Oh, what a relief.
Offer.
Thought he was going.
And Mike
said
Napoli,
nobody.
The former All-Star player who retired in 18 is going to be the Cubs' quality assurance coach in 2020. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Can
normally,
he pitch hit?
Normally, guys don't. If you're good, you don't want to kind of start at the bottom, right? So good for him. Cubs still need to decide who's going to be coaching first and third.
Oh boy, I am with bated breath awaiting that one.
Okay, so you don't care about
no.
that. Cody Bellinger is the National League MVP. Mike Trout, MVP for the third consecutive year, despite the injury.
I can't wait till the first time Joe tells him he's playing second base.
Blackhawks are at the Predators on Saturday. We got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
How will David Montgomery's rolled ankle in practice affect the Bears' offense against the Rams, who will step up in Montgomery's absence to become a factor? Or do you think Montgomery finds a way to play?
Well, come on now. It's a lightly sprained ankle. It's a lightly rolled ankle. Let's not get carried away. I think this is really interesting. I think that this particular player, this particular injury, speaks volumes about where the Bears are at in terms of their drafting. I think David Montgomery's a tough guy. I think he's going to find a way to play. I also think the Bears traded up to get him. They gave up the 87th pick, 162, and another 2024th round pick. They gave up a 2024th round pick to make a trade with New England to make sure they got David Montgomery. So what did they do? They got rid of Mike Davis for what they hope is a 2024th round pick. So they were basically trying to recoup the pick they lost by trading up for David Montgomery. I think that's lost on everyone. And we ought to get into some of this draft talk and moving up stuff. But I personally believe that David Montgomery is going to play in the game. I think the fact that they tried to couch it with the lightly indicates that they want him to play. I think he's a tough kid. I think he's going to play. If he doesn't, then I think it's going to be Tariq Cohen and Ryan Nall.
Durability was a strength at Iowa State for David Montgomery.
And he had line there.
Yeah, and that's the truth. And he made his own yards, and he runs hard, and I think he runs downhill. I like a lot of what I see, especially when you look at the stats and the, you know, the analytics, if you will, and you see how he doesn't get, you know, the stuffed runs. They don't pile up for him. He definitely gets you positive yardage. And I think that this is something they had to put on the injury report. I'm surprised the way they couched it, because it doesn't really, you know, kind of put some pressure on him to play. But I think that they probably are also aware of that, and he likely will play. I think it's time if he does play, and I think everyone expects that. He's got to do something. The Bears have to do something to change this growing narrative about how much they miss Jordan Howard. And I know that I was one of those guys who said that they would miss Jordan Howard, particularly at the time of the year we're entering. When it gets cold, when the elements change. I know it's not going to be like that in L.A., certainly. But you've got seven games to go. You've got, you know, a tough December schedule. You get the point of the season last year when Jordan Howard started to establish the Bears' identity as a pretty good running team between the tackles. I'm not sure they are right now. Actually, I know that they're not. So this is a chance against the Rams to establish the run, get your rookie going, make sure that he's moving downhill. And if he doesn't play for some reason, then you're going to gimmick your way through another game. But if he is healthy, line up in the I formation, take the gimme, and get your guy going, because you have to establish something that you believe in and helping your quarterback.
Yeah, over the past three games, I believe, Montgomery's carried the ball 58 times. So Nagy has committed or recommitted. Maybe it's the first time he's committed, but he has tried to establish the run a little bit more than he was during the season, when he would just give him the ball, three, four times. We saw in some games he would refuse to run the ball. So this is a really bad time for this injury to pop up. The fact that he used the word lightly makes me think he will play, but I that's just off the top of my head. I mean, who will step in? It'll probably be Ryan Nall. I said it sort of jokingly in the first segment, but Tariq Cohen is, while he's a very dynamic player, and you can certainly draw some plays up to get him involved, he's not a between the tackles, you know, give him the ball 15, 20 times and punch it up the gut. That is definitely not what he is. That's not going to happen. There's probably a reason they kept Ryan Nall around on the practice squad for these last couple of seasons. And if this is indeed his shot, I think he's going to get a decent shot at it. Hopefully Montgomery does find a way to play. Again, the timing on this, they just cut Mike Davis. It couldn't be any worse for the Bears. But I'm really hoping that the word lightly indicates that he will play Sunday.
I agree, because if you don't have David Montgomery in there, that's doesn't bode well for the Bears running game at all. I mean, I don't have high hopes or high expectations that if he can't play or is extremely limited and we see a lot of Ryan Nall, that he'll be able to accomplish anything. So I think he will play if they're calling it lightly rolled. If he ends up being limited or does not play, they're going to have to find a way to get some things going for Tariq Cohen, get some Tariq Cohen-friendly plays going where he can be effective and establish some kind of semblance of a running game for you. But I hope that this is not a something that really holds Montgomery back, and hopefully on Monday we're saying, wow, that lightly rolled ankle didn't really mean anything.
He's on the injury report, right? That's not the question. So they're not looking to get in trouble from the NFL if they don't let us know, not us, but let the league know that something's not right with him. And so I'm almost wondering, like, why go out of your way to, is the player soft? Are they questioning him? Do they need to say this to kind of to motivate him to get it in gear and know the difference between, as the great John Fox said, the difference between an ouchie and an injury? There's a difference, and you got to know what that difference is. Listen, it could have a huge effect. This Bears offensive line is not prepared for 45 pass attempts from MVP Mitch. Okay, they're just not.
Oh, you went
okay.
There.
I had
okay,
to go
Michael.
There. Okay, I had to go there, but yeah. They're just not. And could Ryan Nall do it? Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I'd give Tariq Cohen the first chance, though. I wouldn't just go to the whoever the backup is, Ryan Nall, right away. I'd at least give Tariq Cohen the chance. Let's just hope he takes a shot at Toradol, tapes it up, and we're not talking about this on Monday morning.
It's a good question, man, and a timely one.
What should happen to Myles Garrett after the ugly incident that involved ripping Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph's helmet off and then using it to attack him? Could there be any explanation that justifies that kind of response? And is it the worst thing you've seen on a football field?
It's close. I mean, have to put it in the conversation. The Albert Haynesworth, you know, stomping on somebody's head or neck, I think that was pretty bad. You think of some other incidents that come to mind. That was inexcusable. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Cleveland Plain Dealers deep dive into the 2017 draft to see if why the Browns didn't meet with Myles Garrett to find out he was capable of such a thing. I think at this point, you've got to look at minimums, the end of the season. I think beyond that might be a little bit extreme, and it might be something that you look at as but I don't want to say that yet. I want to hear how he explains himself. I didn't see how he explained himself last night. There's no place for this in professional sports. There's no place for this in any sports at any level. This wasn't unsportsmanlike conduct. This wasn't just a loss of temper. This was assault. And this was something that could rise to the level of litigation. If you're Mason Rudolph, you have to consider any and all options because it was that bad. And when you look at the ramifications, when you look at the discipline, it's, you know, the next morning, the day after, might be too soon to consider all of those options, but I think they're all on the table.
Look, I that's as bad as anything I've seen on the football field. That was really awful. And if I'm the Browns, I just suspend the guy for the rest of the year. Just get ahead of the league on it, right? I mean, why mess around with it? He should not play the rest of this season. I think he needs to then do some counts. They got to do something about it. You cannot have that happen on a football field. The very idea that they've written a rule about it. Mike Pereira taught us. I did not know there was a rule in the book that you can't take the guy's helmet off and hit him in the head with it. But effectively, they have that rule. You can't tear a guy's helmet off and use it as a weapon. What does that tell you?
Is there precedent for that? Because I thought the same thing. Would they have language to prevent it? It must have happened.
Well, we know it happened in practice, right?
Yeah.
With the Oakland Raiders. Well, we know Kyle Long did it in practice here.
We don't know how bad that was. But yeah.
Yeah, but we know that what was his? Who's the crazy Oakland Raider?
Alzado?
Which one?
No, the linebacker with the Niners who then went to Oakland.
Romanowski.
Bill Romanowski took a guy's helmet off and broke his jaw in practice with the helmet, right? Took off the helmet, slapped him across the face, and broke his jaw. Was sued by the guy. I mean, it was as cheap and horrible. And we knew that Romanowski was all jacked up on God knows what, right? That's probably why he did it. He's talked about all his issues. And he came in here one time, and he had his life coach with him. It was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever been associated with. But but he did that. So I've heard of it happening in practice. But to have that on a Thursday night game, I get it. Thursday night, people have to go to work. They don't stay for the end of it. It's in prime time. This is the NFL showing off its product in prime time. Oh, watch the guy beat the quarterback over the head with his helmet. I'm sorry. That is just not allowed. I thought the worst thing I saw was Albert Haynesworth stomping on a guy's head, and it just was as cruel and horrible a thing as you're ever going to see. But I got to tell you, this one takes the cake. This is absolute. It's a crime. It's criminal. The man could be arrested for it.
It was absolutely insane. Crazy. I mean, I just can't even get past it. It was one of, I don't know if it's the worst thing I've seen on a football field. I mean, we've seen some pretty heinous injuries. You see players paralyzed.
And we've seen the Bears play on Sundays.
And we've had to watch a lot of bad Bears football over the years as well. But
I mean, the way that Cody Parkey attacked those uprights.
The first thing I thought of, though, when I saw this insanity was that Kyle Long did the same thing to his own teammate during a practice this year. And no, there wasn't video of that. We didn't see it. Had there been video, maybe we would have reacted differently, because that's, you know, the case with everything. If you see it and you can actually look at what's happening, it affects you more. But it was just crazy. I mean, I was in shock when it happened. And David, you're right. You brought up earlier Mason Rudolph, a guy with concussion history. He got his bell rung earlier this year, missed a game, I believe. There could be litigation coming from this. If he can't clear concussion protocol, if he can't play next week, if for some reason, you know, it kind of re-scrambled his eggs in there a little bit. I mean, he's missing game time. He's missing out on money there. There could absolutely be legal ramifications here. Just absolutely nuts. He should be suspended for the rest of the season at a minimum. And then I think you also look at maybe repercussions from next season as well, because this was just crazy. And it's a miracle that it wasn't worse. I mean, thank God Mason Rudolph wasn't bludgeoned on the football field last night. Just crazy.
Yet fortunately for Mason Rudolph, it was not worse. This could have been a even more serious situation, and it is a serious situation, but I agree with Kevin. Yeah, he should not play. Myles Garrett should not play for the rest of this season, and you should seriously look into him missing some games next season. There's no reason for this. This is absolute trash, and Myles Garrett is terrible for this. There's no explanation. Could there be an explanation that justifies this kind of response? I don't care what kind of trash talking is going back and forth or how heated it gets during a game. You're a professional. You don't do this. You just do not put another player in danger, albeit an opposing team. You just don't do this to another guy. You just don't. Is it the worst thing I've seen on the football field? I'll go a different direction here. Kevin alluded to injuries. And I thought of the scary moment in 2011 when Johnny Knox hurt himself.
Oh, horrible.
When he collided going for the ball against the Seahawks, I believe it was. That was a very scary moment. That might qualify as the worst thing. I know that's not a fight or an incident like that, but I'll say that was one of the worst things I've ever seen on a football field.
Well, there's plenty of worse football we've seen, and you guys pointed them all out. So you took all my ammo, but thanks. listen, we all agree, and I don't care. Of course, the Players Association will, on the behalf of Garrett, will say, oh, no, it's not fair. Where the commissioner, at 7 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock our time, at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, he needs to be on NFL something, okay, and saying, that's it, he's done for the year. There's no, we got to look at the tape, we got to interview people, we got to talk to, this is just common sense. Yeah. But what I do not want, I do not want the authorities getting involved. This is not a legal situation. I don't want to see that, because that blurs the lines. Then we have to make a two-hand touch. And that's, this is way beyond well, that.
Mason Ray
tried to bludgeon him
with
a helmet.
If Rudolph wants to, it's up to him. And I don't think he will. I
don't
think he will.
I don't see that, though.
It's kind of up to the victim.
Yes.
He is a victim.
I could go so far as to say he doesn't. If you want to make an example, that's it. He's done. Okay. Done. Go away. Thanks for playing. Get out. The Browns should just cut him and make another team.
Well, you
can't do that. There's so many jokes about the Browns out there, right? Most of them deservedly so. If they really wanted to make a statement, say, we're going to run an organization a certain way. Okay, this isn't, and I don't want to hear this is, Freddie Kitchens' fault. Well, if they would have had this guy as a coach or that guy as a coach. You know, look at Freddie Kitchens. Look at the way he keeps himself together. He's the reason. It's not Freddie Kitchens' fault. But as an organization, they should cut him this morning.
You can't cut him.
Why can't you?
Because you can't cut him.
He's too good, and you've got too much invested in him.
Number one overall pick.
Vontaze Burfict is suspended for the rest of the year. This guy, and I would argue about this, Dustin. I really think that the head coach needs to have discipline with that team. That team was headhunting all night. That team is called for penalties.
That's their nature.
Like crazy.
So when you say you want Goodell out at 6 a.m. saying that they are going to do something league-wide to Myles Garrett, I want the Browns to beat them to it. I want the Browns to take action and say, all right, we are responsible for that kind of behavior, letting it fester, and we're not going to wait for the league to act. He's suspended for the rest of the season, and we'll revisit later discipline at another time.
I'm down with that, Dave.
A Steelers player is walking off the field with blood coming out of his ear after getting the late hit by the safety. That was so vicious. It was unbelievable. Now, it was a late hit to begin with. Maybe he was unlucky that he made contact helmet to helmet. I don't know if he was. But if you're going after people like that, there's something wrong with the coaching.
I have a few things I need to get through before I open it up to your questions.
The NFL released a list of 11 teams who will attend the Colin Kaepernick workout Saturday in Atlanta. The Bears are not yet on that list. Is this a big deal?
Look, I do not understand why the Bears wouldn't turn up for the thing. Why you wouldn't send somebody's secretary, some video guy. I mean, even if you don't want to take it seriously, What are they afraid of? What could possibly be wrong with sending a representative of some type just to make it look like you care? Why wouldn't you? I mean, if I'm Ryan Pace, I don't know. What is Ryan Pace doing? We don't know where he is. He talks to Jeff on a Friday. I don't know what he does after that. Does he show up at the game? Is he planning to go to L.A.? He should show up for this thing. Because guess what? You did not do a good job of getting quarterbacks here, pal. You did a terrible job with Mike Glennon, and Mitch is not working out right now. So look everywhere. Look under every stone. Try everything. If they're going to have, I mean, whatever you think about this, you should, if the New England Patriots are sending somebody, then guess what? That means there's something there. So I'm going too. I don't get it. I think it's stupid to not show up. I think it's disrespectful to the process of trying to get players. Listen, there's no under the table. There's no sneaky. What are they really worried about? Is Mitch? Is his feelings going to be hurt? Is the quarterback's psyche so frail that you can't even look at another player? Give me a damn break.
If I'm an NFL executive, I am sitting there and I'm watching what Bill Belichick does, and I am mimicking as much as I can. If the Patriots think it's worth their time to be in Atlanta to watch Colin Kaepernick throw and run and do whatever else he's going to do on Saturday at that workout, I'm there. I am there. Even if you think it's disingenuous for them to be there, if it's just a publicity stunt to cover yourself for your fan base, go. You never know what you're going to find out. Seeing is believing. And if he performs at a high level, I don't care. There's things that you can't see on videotape that will be available to all 32 teams. You're not that busy. You're not that important. You're not You're not that good that you can risk missing out on something. Send a scout. Send, you know, an assistant general manager. Send somebody. Go yourself. I mean, really, can you not get from Atlanta to L.A. by Sunday night? What are you missing exactly? So I think that you look at the Cowboys are now going. The Seahawks are now going. The Patriots, last I checked, they have good quarterbacks as well. So you're not going and it's going to look like, oh, we have no confidence in Mitch Trubisky. You're worried about that. Well, maybe you should not have as much confidence in Mitch Trubisky and let him find out that this is the real world and people want your job, so you better do something to keep it. Go.
The Bears, objectively, have one of the worst quarterbacking situations in the NFL right now. They seemingly wasted a number two overall pick in a draft on a quarterback who's not very good. The backup is highly overpaid, and he's just there to be a coach and to get Mitch all ready for game day, apparently. And I don't even want to talk about Tyler Bray. And so the fact that the Bears are not going to, and maybe it'll change, and maybe, you know, they'll change their mind. Maybe somebody will be available, somebody, you know, a coffee gopher or whomever else, just to have representation there. But it will be a big deal if they do not have somebody there, because Mitch can't play. Chase Daniel probably won't be here very much longer. And if you're not even, you know, Mully, like you said, every stone overturned, whether it's Colin Kaepernick or anybody that can upgrade the quarterback position, if they're not exploring that option, it's a total failure organizationally.
Cardinals, Falcons, Browns, Broncos, Lions, Dolphins, Patriots, Giants, Jets, Buccaneers, Washington, the list of teams that are going to the Colin Kaepernick workout. Is it a big deal that the Bears are not on that list right now? I think if they don't go, yes, it's a big deal. I'm going to say it's not a big deal at the moment, as long as they go. As long as we come to find out Monday that they attended, they sent a representative. But it's a big deal if they just ignore this workout and bypass this workout. Because, I mean, do you think the Browns care about the optics of how it looks when their franchise QB, Baker Mayfield, who's been struggling all season, do you think they care about how he's going to feel if the Browns are on this list, that they're attending this workout? No, they don't care. And the Bears shouldn't either. This is ridiculous. If they don't attend, you have an extreme quarterback problem. You are entering quarterback hell because your franchise, your number two overall pick, it has not panned out. You don't have a viable backup. You need to figure something out, and you can start with this workout.
You could start with this workout, okay? The great Mike Florio said every team's got some slappy they could send down there, okay? And depending on, you know, every team's got, every organization, everybody's got a slappy, okay? They could send somebody there. Everybody can't be that busy Saturday afternoon. But I think this show started it, and then the media jumped onto it. We basically guilted the Bears to go down to Soldier Field and turn on the lights and have Cody Parkey kick field goals at Soldier Field, where he kicks field goals on Sundays or Thursdays or Mondays, depending, before the texters say, well, he could kick on a Thursday, he could kick on a Saturday. Okay, whatever day he's going to kick, that's where he kicks. Okay, you need to be there. Like, hopefully, I'm with Ray. Let's find out that they didn't send anybody. So I will, believe it or not, tap the brakes for a second. Let's see them not do it, and then let's come back and pile on.
Yeah,
on
because
Monday
they could still change their minds.
Absolutely.
Today. Absolutely.
And I hope that this conversation helps get that
rolling.
Dustin,
that is tremendous restraint.
Well done. Amazing, isn't it?
It is.
See how in such a good mood we are on a Duncan Friday here?
Yeah.
It's just great.
You can't beat that question. You can try, but you can't beat that question.
After Thursday, Coby White is the youngest NBA player to hit 5 3-pointers in consecutive games. If the Bulls are down 2 and need a basket in the final possession, is White your first, second, third, or fourth option?
Well, I have to think after last 2 games, he'd be one of the top 2. Maybe Zach LaVine first, probably Coby White second. Where is Lauri Markkanen on that list? He has disappeared way too often. This is a guy that 7 times in 12 games, he has had 10 shots or fewer. And that is not the way you're going to take the next step if you're the Chicago Bulls. I love everything Coby White has to offer. I think at best, though, he's probably the second option, and I am still comfortable with him in the sixth man role. I think that kind of gives him an opportunity with the second unit to be the main scorer. Doesn't matter if he starts games, but I do care if he finishes them, especially if you need a big bucket late.
I got to tell you, I love Coby White. I love watching him play. I love when he's knocking down some threes. I don't mind it when he's just taking shots. I love the role they have him in. I think it's perfect for him because he is the scorer in that unit. And I love the way they bring in Dunn. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say this, and people are going to think I'm an idiot. But Ryan Arcidiacomo is absolutely one of my favorite Bulls all of a sudden because I loved his reaction when Coby White was going off scoring and coming off the bench and the left hand. I got to tell you something. He is really working some charm on me. He hit a big shot last
night.
That's
confidence.
You know, you see, I can't believe I'm going to say this because I was so down on the guy, but Dunn does an amazing job defensively. He really comes in and
he's really good off the bench.
That's a good unit. Yeah. That is a good unit that you really like seeing. So I have no problem with the way they're using him. Should he be the option in a final shot? I don't think he'll ever get the chance because Zach LaVine's got the ball and he's taking it and everybody clear out. I'm going for the hole. That is. It's all a problem, as a man once said. But I got to tell you, that is that's something else. Lauri Markkanen is—he's just on my pay no mind list because I don't think he'd get a shot either. Because
what do you want to take?
Zach versus the world.
I mean, the way how passive Lowry's been, you know,
Lowry's been terrible.
First half, he was aggressive. Then he disappeared.
Yes,
I don't like it either because I really like Lauri Markkanen and I want him to be better. But this question's about Coby White. It's about Zach LaVine because you guys talked about how many bad shots Zach LaVine took last night. And that's not exclusive to last night's game. He takes a lot of bad shots. He's a good player. But I think that maybe because he's making so much money, because he's, I guess, the guy, the de facto guy on this team, he feels like he has to take, 50 shots a game. And, you know, he's got high ranking on Coby White. You know, he's a rookie. He's coming off the bench, all that stuff. Ideally, Coby White would be your first option, the way he's been shooting the ball and the way that he could catch fire this year. But I just think in terms of the pecking order, it's just not realistic at this point.
I'll say Coby White, as hot as he is right now, is, I agree, this like a second option behind LaVine. Because LaVine is always going to be your number one guy when the game's on the line and you know, you've got just seconds left on the clock, but he's hot. He's looking good. This is exciting to watch his ascension, and I just hope he keeps dazzling us the way he is. And, you know, I'll say since we're entering the holiday season, on my sports Christmas wish list, one of the top items is for Lauri Markkanen to wake the hell up.
Ray, come on. It's November 15th. But you're making a Christmas list? Come on, Ray.
Yeah.
Have a tree up already. You probably have your house decorated.
Yo, have you been in a Walgreens lately?
My gosh.
That place is wall-to-wall.
It's mid-November, guys.
I ate a pound of peppermint bark last night.
Okay. I want some eggnog.
I want the stuff that goes with the eggnog. Listen, because Zach makes the most money, he's the top of the pecking order.
I think that's so. The
problem. I mean, but that's the problem. And Molly, while I agree with you that I like the instant offense as the sixth man, trust me, if this keeps continuing, if he keeps leading the Bulls in scoring or is right there, trust people are going to get in his ear and it's going to cause problems. He needs to start right now. I mean, let's put it this way. Saturday night against the Nets, and you hope it doesn't come to this, but if they're in a situation against the Nets,
Exactly.
He better be option number when Jim Boylan hopefully calls a timeout, okay, and draws up a play, he better be the number one option.
That's what I wondered.
Right now,
Will it be though? I think I'm with Mully. I think it's gonna be Zach LaVine.
That's ridiculous because he makes the most amount of money?
No, because he feels more confident taking that shot.
Or he's going to pout because he didn't get to take the shot.
But he's just not going to give anyone else an opportunity to take it.
I mean, listen, in eighth grade basketball, they used to say, you know, look out, Dustin's got the ball, he's going for the hole, get out of the way. But, I mean, come on.
What?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question.
Oh, yeah, here's something.
Let's just move along. What is your pick for the Bears game and why?
Look, I would love to see the Bears win. I think it's a very important game for the Bears. Get back to 500 and give yourself a chance the rest of the year. But I think we're also kind of, I think we're basing a lot of our picks here on how bad the Rams have been, not how bad the Bears have been. And I just, the more I go through it in my head, I'm worried about the David Montgomery injury, the lack of help from the tight ends. Not that you were getting much from them anyway, but for whatever reason, I just can't wrap my mind around the idea that the Bears are going to solve things. And I think that they're going to lose the game. I'll say it's a close game. I'll call it 19-17.
Crazy things happen in the NFL. I understand that this pick is based more on probably instinct than evidence. I just look at the Bears and I look at the Rams, and it's not Trubisky versus Goff. It's not the matchup that we thought. Maybe not even Aaron Donald versus Khalil Mack. I think that this is a battle of attrition, and the Bears' offensive line is bad. The Rams' offensive line is worse. I think that on Sunday night, Khalil Mack reminds the Bears fans of what they've been missing, and America discovers Nick Williams. Jared Goff goes down. Bears defensive line dominates 23-20. Bears.
I think I agree with you, David. I think the Bears are going to win. I think the defensive line is going to wreak havoc on young, rich Jared Goff. And I think the Bears are going to win in what might be an ugly game. Hopefully not as ugly as last year when these two teams met. But I think the Bears win 17-10.
I'm going to say that, it'll be a defensive battle, of course. Two weak offensive lines, two weak quarterbacks. But I'm going to go with the Rams taking it 24-13.
17-13 Rams, and how dare you call that game ugly last year? I mean, that was a thing.
That was bowling shoe ugly.
That was a thing of beauty. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the score is exactly the opposite. The Bears need to give me a reason to win. If this game was at Soldier Field, Jared Goff, get him a body bag. The guy does not want to be outdoors. He doesn't want to be in any kind of incremental weather. I just still worry about what the. Can the Bears drop back and throw the ball? And I feel like as much as the Bears defensive line should have a good day, the Rams defensive line is going to have even a better day.
All righty, that's it. That's the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.